sadhana. Look around, among your family, co-workers and friends, can you see how everyone has different levels of perception? Just observe this closely. If you know a few people who seem to have a greater clarity of perception than others, watch how they conduct their body. They often have a certain poise without practice. But just a little practice can make an enormous difference. If you sit for a few hours a day with your spine erect, you will see that it will have an unmistakable effect on your life. You will now begin to understand what I mean by geometry of your existence. Just the way you hold your body determines almost everything about you. Another way of listening to life is paying attention to it experientially, not intellectually or emotionally. Choose any one thing about yourself, your breath, your heartbeat, your pulse, your little finger, just pay attention to it for 11 minutes at a time. Do this at least 3 times a day. Keep your attention on any sensation, but feel free to continue doing whatever you're doing. If you lose attention, it doesn't matter. Simply refocus your attention. This practice will allow you to move from mental alertness to awareness. You will find the quality of your life experience will begin to change. Downloading the cosmos. Until recently, after every storm, you had to go up to your roof and adjust your TV antenna. Only if it was aligned in a certain way did the world pour into your living room. Or else, as you were watching your favorite soap opera or football match, a blizzard would suddenly appear on your screen. The body is like that antenna. If you hold it the right way, it becomes receptive to all there is in the existence. If you hold it another way, you will remain absolutely ignorant of everything beyond the 5 senses. Here is another analogy. Your body is like a barometer. If you know how to read it, it can tell you everything about you and the world around you. Body never lies. So in yoga, we learn to trust the body. We transform the physical body from a series of compulsions of flesh, blood and hormones into your conscious process, a powerful instrument of perception and knowing. If you know how to read the body, you can tell your potential, your limitations, even your past, present and future. That is why the fundamental yoga starts with the physical body. It is as simple as this. The more you know about your telephone or any other gadget, the better you can use it. A few years ago, the cell phone companies conducted a survey and found that 97% of the people were using only 7% of the phone's capabilities. I am not talking about the smartphone here, but the dumb one. Even with that simple gizmo, people were using only 7%. Now, as we have already said, this body of yours is the ultimate machine, the perfect state-of-art gadget. What percentage of this machine do you think you are employing? Well, below 1%. To conduct your life in the material world, to ensure your survival, you do not need even 1% of the body's capabilities. We are doing all kinds of trivial things with it because right now our whole perception of life is limited to the physical nature of existence. But your body is capable of perceiving the whole universe. If you prepare it properly, it can grasp everything in this existence because all that happens to this existence is happening in some way to this body. All physical creation is fundamentally a certain perfection of geometry. Without geometry, no physical form is possible. If we get the geometry of the human body right, it becomes capable of reflecting the larger geometry of the cosmos within and making the cosmic available for our experience. In other words, the human body is capable of downloading the entire cosmos. Sadhana. Sit in a comfortable posture with your spine erect and, if necessary, supported. Remain still. Allow your attention to slowly grow still as well. Do this for 5 to 7 minutes a day. You will notice that your breath will slow down. What is the significance of slowing down the human breath? Is it just some respiratory yogic acrobatics? No, it is not. A human being breathes 12 to 15 times per minute, normally. If your breath settles down to 12, you will know the ways of Earth's atmosphere. That is, you will become meteorologically sensitive. If it reduces to 9, you will know the language of other creatures on this planet. If it reduces to 6, you will know the very language of the Earth. If it reduces to 3, you will know the language of the source of creation. It is not about increasing your aerobic capacity, nor is it about forcefully depriving yourself of breath, a combination of Hatha Yoga and an advanced yogic practice called the Kriya will gradually increase your lung capacity, but above all will help you achieve a certain alignment, a certain ease, so that your system evolves to a state of stability where there is no static, no crackle, just perceives everything. Intensity of inactivity. Logically, somebody who never puts effort into anything should be the master of effortlessness, but it is not so. If you want to know effortlessness, you need to know effort. When you reach the peak of effort, you become effortless. Only a person who knows what it is to work understands rest. Paradoxically, those who are always resting know no rest. They only sink into dullness and lethargy. This is the way of life. For the Russian ballet dancer Nijinsky, his entire life was dance. There were moments when he would leap to heights that seemed humanly impossible. Even if one's muscles are at peak performance, there is still a limit to how high one can jump. But in some moments, he would seem to transcend even that limit. People often asked him, "How do you manage this?" He said, "There is no way I can ever do it. When Nijinsky is not there, only then it happens." When someone is constantly giving 100%, a point comes when one surpasses all limits and reaches total effortlessness. Effortlessness does not mean becoming a couch potato. It means transcending the need for physical action. Only when you are able to stretch to your utmost and sustain the peak of effort do you reach this. There are some people nowadays who declare that they would like to opt for Zen as a spiritual path because they think it means doing nothing. In fact, Zen involves tremendous activity because it is not divorced from life in any way. For example, a Zen monk may take weeks to simply arrange pebbles in a garden. In performing such activity, you reach a state of non-doing where you transcend the experience of being a doer. It is in such states that you have a taste of the beyond. If you achieve such states through intense activity, as Nijinsky and many others have, these moments will always be cherished as magical. But if you arrive at the same state through intensity of inactivity, then it is a yogic posture, and it is a state that can be sustained longer. The very essence of dhyana or meditativeness is that you push yourself to the highest possible intensity where after some time there is no effort. Now meditation will not be an act but a natural consequence of the intensity that has been achieved. You can simply be. It is in these absolutely non-compulsive states of existence that the necessary atmosphere is set for the blossoming of an individual into your cosmic possibility. If we, as societies and individuals, continue to allow every moment to pass by without setting the atmosphere for such a flowering, we have squandered a tremendous possibility. There is so much infantile talk about heaven and its pleasures only because the immensity of being human has not been explored. If your humanity overflows, divinity will follow and serve you. It has no other choice.